Life feels better when you know your loved ones are protected. Well, now you can have peace of mind knowing your family's future will be looked after for as little as €10 per month with Laya Life Insurance. Simply answer a few online questions, no medical required, and you'll get an instant decision. Join us online and you'll get a 10% discount and a further 10% if you're already a Laya Healthcare member. Visit layalife.ie now.
Insurance provided by IPTQ Life SA. Laya Healthcare Limited, trading as Laya Life and Laya Healthcare, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull, that's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts. This is an Irish Independent podcast.
I'm Adrian Weckler, technology editor of the Irish and Sunday Independent, and you're listening to The Big Tech Show. A few months ago, I got an email from someone asking whether we might be related. He was contacting me, he said, because we happen to share the same surname, an unusual one outside Germany or the US Midwest. In Ireland, it's limited to just my brother and me. A few emails into the exchange, he asked whether I had done one of those genetic family tree tests with the likes of Ancestry.com or 23andMe. I hadn't, but it got me thinking about it. Now, I'm a technology journalist in the data protection regulation capital of the world, Dublin. I write about things like GDPR and the fell things that can happen to your personal data online. So it's fair to say that most of my peers are, and let me say this politely, unenthusiastic about logging personal DNA tests with commercial companies on the internet. But journalism is sometimes about more than warning people of the potential pitfalls of processes. Sometimes you have to try out the thing that you're warning about. So last December, I spit into a little plastic tube and sent it off to 23andMe. About a month later, I got the results and I was slightly taken aback. It wasn't everything I was looking for, but it did tell me quite a few things I wasn't expecting at all. Today, I'm going to go through some of those things with Stacey Detweiler, a licensed and certified genetic counsellor on the medical affairs team of 23andMe. Stacey, the biggest eye-opener for me, I think, was the range and the depth of the sicknesses and maladies and diseases and even the mental and psychological dispositions that the test results predicted for me. Now, just for listeners who aren't aware, you get a long list. In my case, it was almost 60 different conditions that were tested in my case, medical conditions. And let me go through a few of them just briefly. Things like age-related macular degeneration, cancer, some forms of cancer, chronic kidney disease, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, cystic fibrosis, type 2 diabetes, the only one, by the way, which I was assessed as being likely to have. What degree of accuracy or likelihood generally in terms of the indicativeness do these results that I read about me, might they suggest?
Yeah, so I think first off, it's really important to understand for all these conditions, genetic is a piece of the puzzle. It's not the full story. So we are talking about likelihoods or chances, but we aren't talking about the diagnosis here. So that's a really key aspect because there's a lot for these conditions. You mentioned type 2 diabetes that you can do yourself as well. There's environmental and lifestyle that play a big role. So that's really important. In terms of the test itself, there's kind of different ways to think about accuracy. There's accuracy of the genetic variants, and we hold ourselves to very high standards for that accuracy. And then there's thinking about the kind of clinical validity or how much this variant is associated with that condition. And that's where, again, there's a lot of this is based on published papers. For example, age-related macular degeneration, the variants we test for, it's well known by looking at people that have these variants that they have an increased likelihood to have the age-related macular degeneration. Not that you will, but that you can. And so there's kind of these single genetic variants or changes that can greatly increase your chance to have these conditions. And so for that's the majority of these reports. Type 2 diabetes is actually really interesting here because that's based on our own research by consented research participants. And this, rather than looking at like a single variant that has a really big impact, we're looking at thousands of variants that all have a small impact, but when you combine it together, it can present kind of a really significant impact about chances for developing a condition.
And listen, let me take it one step back, just for people who aren't aware at all of what this process involves. So for me, I spit into a small plastic vial and I sent it off. How then do you measure that, the things that we've been talking about? And I'm going to mention a few more even in a minute. How do you actually extract this kind of information from that one piece of saliva?
Yeah, it's funny. It all starts with spit, right? So in your spit, there's cells from your cheek, and in your saliva, there's DNA. So you actually extract DNA from those cells. And genetically speaking, we're humans are all 99.5% genetically identical, right? And so what we're really focusing on here is those small differences that make us unique. And we do this with a technology called genotyping. And genotyping allows us to kind of like spot check throughout all of our DNA, there's over 3 billion base pairs, spot check those areas that are more likely to vary. For what we're looking at, it's over 500,000 different variants. There is a technology out there called sequencing where you're actually looking at every single aspect of the DNA. We're looking, though, for those areas that are more likely to have that variation.
Yeah. So in my case, for example, when I got the results back, I started to look down through these health assessments, and I was looking at it on the phone, so it was kind of like a reveal. Everyone was like a reveal. I was looking at chronic kidney disease, drumroll, variants not detected, you know, late onset Alzheimer's, variant not detected, and so on, until I actually got to diabetes, type 2 diabetes, typical likelihood, and that's not a surprise in my own family. But some of the other things, I was just like the wellness and traits, for example. Okay, I'm going to just mention a few here for people who aren't aware of it. Ability to match musical pitch, more likely to be able. Thank you very much, 23andMe. You happen to be correct there. Back hair, likely little upper back hair, correct. Bald spot, likely no bald spot, correct. Cheek dimples, no dimples, correct. Cleft chin, no cleft chin, correct. And on and on and on. Wrong. On two, earlobe type, likely detached, it said. Nope. Wrong. Another one, unibrow, likely at least a little unibrow. No, completely wrong. But stuff like average odds of hating chewing sounds. Correct. I hate chewing sounds. How on earth can this vial of saliva, you've mentioned very eloquently how, you know, you go through and you look at DNA. How does it know that I mightn't like chewing sounds?
Yeah, so this goes back to the research. So research, again, our customers, we have about 80% who consent. It's a separate opt-in to consent to participate in research. And so their genetic data is de-identified and aggregated. So it's kind of combined together. So there's all this chunk of genetic data, but our customers are also answering amazing survey questions like, you know, do you match musical pitch? Do you hate the sound of others chewing? And what you're able to do is called a GWAS. And ultimately what you're doing is you're looking, it's a genome-wide association study. You're looking at those people that hate the sound of chewing versus those people that don't hate it. And you're looking, are there similarities within the genetics between those groups? And so then you can pull that information and ultimately we can then look at your DNA and look at those variants that we saw associated with that trait and come up with a probability or a likelihood. And it, you bring up a really good point of the yes and no, like correct or incorrect. And ultimately it is a prediction, right? So it's not going to be that 100%. And this is where I love the traits because it kind of connects to health, right? Same thing. These are talking about predispositions or likelihoods. Doesn't always mean it comes true, right? Because there's for a lot of these, genetics is just a piece of the story. So misophonia, there's more to it than just genetics, but it is pretty amazing, incredible how much information we can get from this little bit of spit.
Yeah. I mean, I got 8 reports back on wellness, for example, everything from caffeine consumption to, you know, lactose intolerance, muscle composition, which, by the way, mine is uncommon in elite power athletes. Things like sleep movement, likely average or less movement. Let me ask you about so I asked you about the accuracy of the results. How big is your sample at this point? How many people can you say have you're comparing me with, for example?
Mm-hmm. So overall within our database, I'll just talk about, we have over 12 million customers that are genotyped. And again, if we kind of go back to that, 80% of customers are opting in to participate in research. Now for each kind of condition that we're looking at or research that we do, it's a smaller pool because we need to make sure people are answering questions. But we're talking about hundreds of thousands typically of people that are in these cohorts that we're looking at to ultimately kind of find those new genetic insights. And a lot of these insights too, we're able to, we have a big research arm and have big publications on as well. So there's kind of, you know, specific groups that we go after, for example, Parkinson's, where we have, I believe last I heard, you know, one of the largest groups of individuals with Parkinson's disease where we have genetic data on.
Mm. When I was talking about doing this test, I was talking to my wife about it, and her reaction was the same that a lot of people had when I spoke to her, and that was, oh, I don't think I would want to know some of this stuff. But I came across the story of an interesting blogger who blogs on rivergirlreflections.com, Gina Marie Burris. She was a US author. She took the test a couple of years ago. She found out she might have a mutant gene more prevalent with cancer, got it confirmed medically subsequently after taking the test. And she then went and on a multi-year treatment program. And she calls herself now a pre-vivor, somebody who survived the cancer essentially in advance of an actual diagnosis. And that's kind of my approach. If there's something nasty potentially out there, I might want to know. Do you know how many people have had a variant? Likely for diabetes, but I think I dodged some of the more serious ones. What kind of data do you compile yourself in terms of how many people might test positive for a variant of one of the more serious illnesses?
Yeah, so one thing that we do have available in all the reports, and you can deep dive in these reports, we're talking about the number of them, but there's also the breadth with each one. And there's a section in the scientific details where you can actually click down and see the percent of 23andMe customers that have these variants. And so that can give you an idea. And something that's really important aspect here is that ethnicity really matters for some of these conditions. So for example, you kind of brought up the cancer, the BRCA. We test for a very select, it's not diagnostic, right? But these three variants that we test for are really common in the Ashkenazi Jewish ancestry. And so up to, you know, this is where individuals of that population, you're going to see a lot more customers be identified to have variants there compared to the whole. But overall, we're talking about a lot of people that get information back that you kind of brought up this, do you want to know, right? And we really feel strongly that this information can be empowering, but it's also important, like you said, it is a personal choice and something that you really want to think through before you start on this path.
Hmm. Now, the other reaction, the common reaction is often, oh, there's no way I'm doing that test. Sooner or later, it's going to end up with, you know, my insurance company or something. Now, in Ireland, we have laws against that. We have specific legislation. We have a Disabilities Act here, which prohibits specifically that insurance companies using that. But in general, I mean, is it, in terms of 23andMe, do you presumably have strong principles against, you know, selling this data, or do you? I mean, can I rely on that as a customer?
Yeah, very strong. We kind of say like privacy and data protection is in our DNA. It really comes first. And so kind of throughout the process, we hold ourselves to, you are in control of your data, of your information. Everything is encrypted. The genetic data is kept separate from any personal identification data. And, you know, ultimately, we will never share this data, right, without your consent. So we talked about research in terms of, ultimately, it's up to you if you choose that you want to participate in research, you provide that consent. And again, even that, it's all de-identified and aggregated. Yeah. We have a whole privacy page that goes into a lot more detail. But yes, this is a really important that you got to get it right.
Yeah, well, one of the things that Irish listeners would be worried about would be insurance companies, life insurance, health insurance. Now, as I said, the law here does prohibit that. I asked some of the insurance companies here. They didn't actually come back to me, but they appear to have rules that that prohibit that as well. It doesn't satisfy everybody. People are going to be suspicious of handing over their DNA to a commercial company on the internet. Did my spit test, was it dealt with in Europe or did it go to the US?
So this would have gone to the US.
The US, okay. So that then would be a different jurisdiction ultimately to what European customers might be regulated on.
So these are really great questions. I do not know the aspect of all it, but yeah. I do know that, you know, we have a whole team that this is core to think through all the different regulatory aspects depending on the region, the country.
Sure. Okay. Now, just a word on the ancestry bit of it. I was a little disappointed. I don't know what I was expecting. Maybe I was expecting some kind of an amazing family tree that would show me long lost cousins in Alabama or, you know, great uncle Elmer who, you know, lived in Norway or something like that. It was thin enough. It was basically a bunch of third cousins that I got. Was I expecting too much? Should I have been kind of like, is that typical? I know it's not your expertise, but is it typical that you just get a few crumbs back on the ancestry side?
It really depends. Yeah. And also why you're pursuing it. We have adoptees where the ancestry and finding DNA relatives is so impactful, both from a personal understanding who you are, but also from a health aspect too. In terms of, I think the ancestry is really interesting when I talk to people, because some people are really disappointed they didn't find something really interesting, but at the same time, it's, well, you weren't expecting to, right? Mm-hmm. Like this aligns with what you know about yourself. I will say though too, the database is constantly growing, right? We get more and more people. And so there's always that chance that a relative pops up or, you know, you do find that something really interesting that you weren't expecting. So, and there, you know, there's always this work to try and enhance aspects of the product too. So stay tuned. Who knows? You might find something.
Sometimes there's a kind of nasty surprise as well. I presume you've watched or you're aware of that documentary. I think it was on Netflix about the sperm clinic doctor who ended up being the father of 20 or 30 local people. So I guess if you're one of those kids, ultimately, you probably do want to know, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, this is a big aspect. It's something in the genetic counseling community, kind of non-parental expected events are always something we talk about when we do genetic testing. It's just kind of coming to the forefront now a lot more with direct-to-consumer genetic testing. So you do have individuals that didn't know, either they were donor conceived or, you know, they didn't know about a paternity event. So there is a lot of information that can be unexpected that you find, but there's some pretty incredible stories that we hear from people that were able to make connections with those families. Mm. Just how impactful that was.
Yeah. So, and then
again, eyes wide open, right? When you participate, we definitely feel like knowledge is power. But again, eyes wide open that you could find some stuff out that you weren't expecting.
Yeah. And I suppose the general principle, if your biological parent is genetically predisposed towards something, it might in the long run help you to know that.
100%. Yeah. This family history information is what originally was where we considered kind of the genetic information, right? And so knowing your family health history was really important. And this is another way to get at that information. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, look, with that, Stacey Detwiler, thanks you very much for joining us today on the Big Tech Show. Thanks also to Tabitha Monahan producing and Gavin Hennessy on sound. And from me, Adrian Weckler, the tech editor of the Irish and Sunday Independent. Thank you very much for listening to the Big Tech Show. We will be with you at the same time next week. Bye-bye.